Let's take our Bibles to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 14. We'll pick up where we left off here, and I'll read a few verses back just because I like this one verse so well. Verse 4, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 4, where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. I remind you, as before we move on, that's just such an important verse. Don't lose sight of the fruit for the field. It's easy to forget about the fruit because of the challenges of the field. Don't lose out on the blessing because of the mess you have to go through sometimes to get the blessing. God has a lot of blessings for us, but a lot of times we've got to go through the furrows of the mire and the dirt and the plowing to get to the blessing. And we want God's best for our lives, and sometimes it takes a lot of work, a lot of effort, sometimes a lot of hardships. You know, a lot of people they're not willing to go through the hardship to get to the joy. And here, this ox is going to make a mess. He's just going to make a mess. And the ox, if you'll let him work, though, he'll fill that crib, that he'll do the work that's need to be done. You got to put up with that ox. Of course, we talked about how that's likened unto the preachers that God puts in our lives. And 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9-10 talks about the preacher being an ox, and he's plowing, and a lot of times that's hard to get through. But you know, if you can't get through the reprove and the rebuke, you never get to the rest of the things God has for you. So you can't, as they say, throw the baby out with the bathwater. And you've got to go through some things to get where you need to go. And I thank God for the oxen that He's put in my life that have plowed deeply in my life that have helped me. You know, I was thinking about that ox before I came up here just getting in the message tonight. You know, I'm sure if there was an ox out here and you go out in the field, you're not going to push him. An ox is not a pushover, right? He's got to be driven by the master. He's got to be put in a yoke, but he's not a pushover. You know, God give us some more men of the Lord that aren't pushovers. That aren't pushovers in society or pushovers to the world, that aren't yes men to what everybody want to hear, but they're real oxen. Oxen that'll plow so that something can grow. And if something is just like we like it and very comfortable, I'll tell you, we're missing out on the blessing. You know, the same thing's true about risk and reward. You know, everybody wants to get to the reward. You know, there's always a risk to get to a reward. I mean, that's true about just about anything. There are always risks in life, and some people aren't willing to take the risk. You know, every time you get on an airplane, every time I've got on an airplane, yeah, there's a risk. Every time I've gotten in a car, there's a risk to take. But I get in the car because I don't want to walk for 3 hours. Right? There's a reward at the end of the risk that is being taken. And don't ever try to just keep yourself away from all risks. You cannot do that. Whether it's in work, whether it's in play, whether it's in life. Because there's always a field, there's always risk, there's always labor, there's always a mess to go through to get to the blessing. So don't lose sight of the fruit for the field. Keep reading though, he said in verse number five, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. We went into that verse, already described it. Verse 6 now is where I want to pick up our comments tonight. Really, he said, verse 6, a scorner seeketh wisdom, and findeth it not. But knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. We'll look at the next two verses first, but I want to start with verse 6, and really it would be the crux of what I think God's message for us tonight would be. I call this God's hide and seek. Have you ever thought like God was hiding from you, couldn't find him? Or have you ever thought like you were looking for something from God and you weren't able to find it very easily? You know, sometimes there is a hide and seek thing to be. be with God. You know, Job said he was looking for God. He couldn't find him. He looked to the right. He looked to the left. He just could not find the Lord. And there's a reason sometimes we can't find the Lord. I'm sure if you don't find the Lord, it's because he's wanting to show you something else if you've got the right heart. But this verse tells us why some people cannot find the truth. Because God has hidden it from them. Do you know God hides things from people? Not only he himself, sometimes to prove us and to prove our love and to prove our heart, but the truth is also a very hidden thing. Look at your verse again. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. So here's a guy, he's looking for wisdom, but he can't find it. And that's so strange because the Bible tells us that wisdom is so very available, right? I mean, if any lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. But here's a guy that's looking for wisdom and he just can't find it anywhere he's looking. And I want to submit to you tonight that the reason that he can't find wisdom is because God's hiding it from him. And the reason that God's hiding it from him is because look what kind of person he is. Would you look at the verse again? A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. In other words, God has planned it out to where if you have the wrong view of him, he's not going to let you find some things. If your attitude is not correct toward the truth, then there are going to be some things that you never find out about. That's why science, with all of its tools, can never really find knowledge. Can never really find the true knowledge and the true wisdom. Science does not have the answer for man. Science can't solve men's problems. It can make us live a little longer. But the more I watch how much longer people live, a lot of it doesn't look to be a very bright life. I mean, would you rather live to be 100 and have a body racked with every disease and pain and or would you rather go out, you know, at about 75, like, and it all be well? I mean, just think about that. Science really has not solved that many problems. It's not solved the problems of the heart. It's not solved people's personal problems. It may have developed some medication to help them maybe get through it, but it's not solved any of their problems. Not just science, but philosophy. Philosophy goes into the depths of the truth of things about the mind and the body and the heart and the world and life itself. They've not solved any problems. Now, they may make somebody feel better for a while. They've not solved any problems at all. Because we have got more problems now than we have ever had. And we live in a day where knowledge continues to increase. Remember when we talked about in Daniel chapter 12 there, men will run to and fro in those last days and knowledge will be increased. But man is not any closer to getting help than he ever was. And God lets a little old virus just turn up the whole world. Why can't they solve that? You know, everybody thinks that man is smart enough to... Man's not smart enough to solve anything. You know, religion can't solve anything. And people fill their lives with religion thinking it'll solve their problems. It won't solve your problems. It won't help you find what you need. Look at your verse again, verse 6. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. Lord, is the reason I can't find some of the answers is because do I have a wrong attitude in my heart? Is there anything about a scorner that would be true about me? What is a scorner? A scorner is somebody that's antagonistic toward God or toward the truth. A scorner is somebody that actively delights in crusading or standing against something that God has said to be so or something to do with God's character. But they're on the other side of that. We talk about who is on the Lord's side. They're not a whole lot of people. There's not a whole lot of people that would agree with God with everything that's in this book. A scorner is somebody that doesn't like that truth, and revolts against what God is trying to do, what God has said, and who God is. That's a scorner. And God says, if you've got that attitude in your life, I'm going to hide things from you, and you're never going to find out a lot of things. You know, it wasn't too long ago, there was a generation in America, they spent years just trying to find out, just trying to find themselves. I think, you know, history just repeats itself. Well, we got people, they can't find themselves. They can't find any purpose in life. I'm seeking for wisdom. I'm seeking, why am I here? You know, that's one of the first questions that any human being ought to ask when they get up a certain age. Why am I here? What am I doing here? What is the reason that I'm here? It's not just for my existence. It's not just for my enjoyment. Why am I here? But you know, you can seek after that answer, but you'll never find it if your heart attitude's wrong, because God will hide the answer from you unless you have a right heart toward Him. He won't even let you find out the answer. People don't know their purpose in life. They don't know the reason why they're here. You know, I know why I was born. I know why I'm living. I know the reason for my existence and the reason for my life. And I didn't find that out because I'm smart or because I read it in a book. I found it out because one day I got my heart right with God and I got my attitude right toward God and toward the truth. And then He let me find some things. And you know, if we'll get our hearts right, we'll find some. It'll be easy to find. Look at your verse again. This is a fascinating verse, verse 6. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is, what's that word?
Easy.
How many have had things in your life you really needed to figure out, but you just couldn't figure it out? It was so hard. It was so hard for you to figure out what was going on and what God was doing and what you were supposed to do. And this verse says that knowledge is easy to him. Easy unto him that understandeth. I want to explore what that means a little bit. Before we do, go to John chapter 7, would you? In John chapter 7. Don't be a scorner. God will hide his wisdom from you. And if we'll have the right heart, the right attitude, the right spirit before God, there'll be some things that'll be easy for you. You know, Solomon that wrote these Proverbs, Solomon that had all this wisdom. Can I tell you something? Listen now. It was so easy for Solomon to know what he knew. You know why? Come here now. You know why? God put it in his heart. But God never put it in his heart until he had the right attitude toward God. Here these two women bring in the child. Remember that? You know, that's the famous story, and some Italian guy painted it and all that business. And they're gonna, and Solomon just says, divide the child in two. You bring me a sword. Just split it in half, give half to each other. You know, if those two women would have come to me or come to you and said, this is my child. No, this is my child. How do you know whose baby that is? They couldn't do any DNA tests. And we sit here, man, we need to pray about this. What do we do? How do we figure this out? This is so difficult to figure out. I don't know. Let's bring the philosophers in. Let's bring the scientists in. Let's do a study. Let's quiz these women. Let's sit them down and ask them 55,000 questions to figure out if they know it. You know, those two women brought that child in. And that quick. Solomon didn't have to stop and go call all his minions and say, guys, help me with this. It was easy. You know why? God was not playing hide and seek with him. Solomon's heart had been so open to the Lord, and God had just dumped a bunch of wisdom in his heart, and the decisions and the discernments that would seem to be so difficult became so easy. Listen, and second nature. You know what I really believe? I believe if our hearts, a lot of times, I know there are hard things in life, I'm not saying that, but I'm telling you that God can easily give us understanding to where we'll know what to do. But it starts with my heart and attitude toward the Lord. Watch John 7. I'll show it to you. Hide and seek. You kids, how many of you like to play hide and seek? You kids like to play hide and seek? Yeah. Hide and seek. You know, when you play hide and seek, some people were so easy to be found. Y'all know what I'm saying? I mean, you're saying, it don't matter if we count to 180. I'm going to find this cat in about 20 seconds. You know why? It's just easy to find him. But then some people know how to hide it. Let me tell you something. If anybody knows how to hide something from you, it's God. And if anybody can let you easily figure out something, it's God. And so many times it has to do with my heart. Am I a scorner? Look at John 7. I'll show this to you. He said in John chapter 7, verse 34, watch this hide and seek game. Jesus says, ye shall seek me and shall not, what does he say? Find me. You know who he's talking to? He's talking to Pharisees. He's talking to people that are playing games. He's talking to scorners. He's talking to people that did not have the right heart toward him. You know, if you don't have the right heart toward God, you're never going to find out the answers that you want. You're just never going to find out the answers. These scorners, he says, you're going to look for me. But you know what? When we play hide and seek, when I want to hide, you're not going to find me. You're not going to be able to find, don't care how smart you are, don't care how many friends you have. If you don't go my way, if you don't have the right heart toward me, you will never find out anything. But look at the same, in the same chapter, watch verse 17. This is fascinating to me. Jesus also said, if any man will do his will, he shall, what's that word? No. Look up here. You know why a lot of times we cannot find the truth and it hides itself from us? Because we don't want to do the will of God. And if you don't want to do the will of God, you'll never know what you need to know. If any man will do his will, he shall know. It'll be easy. You say, preacher, are you saying the end all to every question in life is just to want to know the will of God and want to do the will of God? Maybe I'm not making it that simple in life, but I'd say maybe 90%. 90% of life would be so easy if everybody was committed to do the will of God. And confusion comes when I'm just not willing to do it. You know what the thing about God is? God knows if I want to do his will. He knows my motivation about everything. Now, I don't know that. And sometimes we deceive ourselves about that. But look, if you really have some serious answers about your life and about your future and about things that are important for God and for you, if you will just desire the will of God, it will probably be easy to understand. But if you're not interested in that will of God, you probably will never get to first base with the Lord. We'll just be a part of that generation that is ever learning. But by the way, go over that verse, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Ever learning and never able to come into the knowledge of the truth. I've got all the information. I've got all the books. I've got all the sources. I got all the knowledge. I got all the head. All the stuff in my head that I need to know. No, you can learn all you want to do. And if God will just hide it from you. That's why some of the dumbest people in the world are people that have PhDs and master's degrees. And have educations that cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars. And that write, you know, books 500 pages long that the average person couldn't even understand their vocabulary. And yet they don't know enough to keep them out of hell. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7 is the verse I was looking at. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? Because God's hiding it from them. Because why? If there was ever a generation that you live in, it would be either 2 Timothy chapter 3 or Romans chapter 1. And you know what? You know what's similar about those two chapters? You know what Romans chapter 1 says? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And all that has come forth in our generation is because people think that they're smart, but God has hidden from them the most simple things. They don't know anything. Hide and seek. Ever learning and never able to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Are you good at hide and seek? Is it easy? Is it easy for you to find things from God? Or is your heart attitude toward the truth and toward His will so that that you just never can find the answer? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's look at all these smart people. God writes about them. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He said, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 1, 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the what? Foolishness of preaching to say that, you know, God is, you talk, here's a hide and seek game. God says to the Greeks, you know, the Greeks, we're missionaries in Greece there, I mean, that, you know, the Greeks invented everything. It was weird, though. When I was in Romania, the Romanians said they invented everything. You know, they did. It's, people are just stupid. You know, the Romanians, they said, no, they invented flying. They invented the first airplane. I said, I don't think so. Oh, yeah. When we went down to Greece, you know, the Greek says, you know, you got your alphabet from us, and you got democracy from us, and you got mathematics from us, and you got religion. I mean, they were just, you got the Bible from, I mean, they were just naming it off, man. We are the end all. And I looked at him and I said, you know what? All of you, you got like five families living in the same house because you don't have enough money to go buy bread. Their whole society crashed. There are people 50 years old living with their grandparents and their parents, and they didn't have anything. They weren't smart enough to figure anything out. They thought if the government gave everybody a pension, I better back off from that. But that's what happened in Greece. It was like 60% of everybody that had a job in Greece was paid by the government. Well, guess what? They run out of money. So then you don't have a pension. And they live like just kings, you know, for a while. But they're smart. And they've got Alexander the Great. And they've got all the philosophers. And they've got all the mathematicians. And they've got all the history. And they got nothing. You know what God said? God said this. Let me give you a modern version. God said this. It'd be better if you turn off the internet and listen to some preaching. It'd be better if you forget about all the books you could read and all the knowledge you can cram in your head and all the education you can obtain, because I've made the wisdom of the world foolishness, and what I'm telling you, what is wise and where you're going to find the truth, you're going to find the truth from that preaching. You're going to find the truth from the Word of God. And if you try to find it somewhere else, I'm going to hide it from you. You know, some of the smartest people in the world are been people who hadn't even had a sixth grade education. They didn't have a sixth grade education, but you know what? They knew why they were here. They knew where they were going. They didn't stay awake at night, and they didn't get up in the morning not knowing the answers that are important for their lives. They had peace. Maybe they were a dirt farmer or a pig farmer, didn't have much, never got out of their county. But they had the sense to listen to the Word of God and the preaching. And God gave them knowledge that a Harvard graduate never did find out. God, you going to play hide and seek with God? A lot of it has to do with your heart. In this same chapter, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I didn't even read all the verses. He drops down and he says, verse 22, look at it. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after what? But they're not going to find it. Because you don't find wisdom unless you're not a scorner. God will hide His wisdom and knowledge from you. And so what does He say? Verse 25, 1 Corinthians 1:25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And then he goes into these verses, God's chosen, verse 26, you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noblemen are called, but God chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Look at verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us what? Wisdom. If I'm going to find wisdom, I've got to find Jesus. Amen. And if I find Jesus, the wisdom will come easy. It doesn't even matter if I'm a fisherman. Oh, the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ in walking out there and choosing fishermen to change the whole world. They didn't have an education. I don't even know if they had a third grade education. I don't know what kind of education Peter had. Just a simple man. What do you do for a living? I just go out there and catch fish. What kind of house do you think he lived in? Probably pretty poor. I bet he hadn't made his way outside of Galilee in forever. Peter, you're going to go see the world? Don't know anything about it. Peter, there's a whole world out there. Don't you want to go to Rome? No, man, are there any fish at Rome? Well, what do you mean are there fish at Rome? There's a whole world out there you haven't seen, Peter. Well, all I know is tomorrow I need to see some fish. Just a simple man. And God chose that man. Watch it. And you know what? You know what he found? He found things that nobody else ever found. He walked on water. He was revealed that Jesus was the Son of God. His name is on the foundation of the city of God that's in heaven. And when they've forgotten about the Bushes and the Clintons and the Trumps and the Obamas and all the world leaders, there's Peter's name at the bottom of the city of gold. Oh, he must have been smart. No, he found wisdom easy because he found Jesus. Have you found Jesus? All the answers of the medical profession, all the answers of our society, they don't have any answers. Wisdom is in Jesus. I believe that. Because it's in the Bible, and the Bible's right, and everything else is wrong. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll just keep reading through some of this. He said in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 5, watch it, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. You see? Look at it. Even the hidden wisdom. You see? Hide and seek. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. The brainiacs of this world know nothing. None of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And then he says in verse number 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. You see that? Look at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Look at it. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness. There we go again. Unto him neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And what does he say in verse 16? We have the mind of Christ. And here's what I'm saying. If you've got the mind of Christ and you are filled with the Spirit of God will give you an understanding and make some things simple to you. But it doesn't matter how smart you are, or what your IQ is, or how many articles you've read, or how many degrees that you have. If you're not in tune with the Spirit of God, you're not going to find out the very simplest of things, because God's just going to hide it from you. Hide and seek. How do I find it easy? That Spirit will show you. I said something to a pastor not long ago. We were talking. I said, you know, I really believe that the answer to so many of our problems is so easy. But people don't like that. They don't want an easy answer. They want a complicated answer. That's why it's hard for people to get saved. They don't want an easy answer. They want a complicated answer. People don't want easy answers for their life. They want complicated answers. I told that pastor, I really believe that the majority of all of our problems would be solved with the fullness of the Spirit of God. I didn't say all, but I said the majority. Because he just makes it easy to find. Oh, there it is. But if my heart's in the wrong place, no, I'll never find it. You know, Jesus didn't even talk to some people. You do know that, right? They brought him in before Herod. You know what he said to Herod? Nothing. You know why? He's hiding from Herod the truth. You know why? Herod's a scorner. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. Herod didn't care about the truth or the will of God. Pilate, he spoke to Pilate a little bit and then he just shut it off. You know why? Because Pilate wasn't interested in the will of God. So he didn't get any more truth. I tell you what, I don't want that to be my life. I jotted these things down. I was reading a book today. It was a blessing. Guy lived 200 years ago. I forget who said it, but somebody said, you ought not read anything new until you've read something old. And this guy that lived 200 years ago wrote this about this text in Proverbs. He says, you know, Jesus promised in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, that he that seeketh findeth, right? If you seek, you'll find. But he said that promise does not apply to scorners because of these reasons. Listen now. And maybe, as we go through this, let's make sure that we're not in any of this so that God doesn't hide something from us. He says a scorner seeks, but is not serious. He said a scorner seeks, but without honesty or purpose. A scorner seeks, but without delight. Delight in the truth of that wisdom. A scorner seeks, but listen. Oh, listen. He said a scorner seeks, but solely for his own interests. And if that's a selfish motive, what did even God say about our prayers? What did he say in James about our prayers? He told us to ask, but if we're trying to consume it and put our own lust, God's not going to answer our prayers. If we're just interested in me, he's going to hide it. He said that scorner seeks, but rejects what he doesn't like that's contrary to his own prejudices. In other words, he's seeking, but if he sees something that runs contrary to his opinion or how he wants everything to go, he just dismisses it so he never finds the truth. And then he said, a scorner seeks but without faith and humility. He faults the Bible. Listen, and I added this little phrase. He faults the Bible and life for being so hard to understand, but he won't fault his own heart. That's profound. In other words, the problem is not with my heart. I wouldn't even consider that. The problem is this is just too hard, or life is just too hard to figure out. But he would never think, maybe I have a problem that's blinding me. Look at Romans chapter 9 real quickly. I know I'm going to hurry on here. Things can be easier. They really can. You know, the most profound problem anybody ever had is you're a sinner and you can't take away your sin and you're going to die and go to hell and there's nothing you can do to impress God. That's the biggest dilemma anybody ever had. What do I do? And then the Holy Ghost made it so easy, didn't he? He said, look to Jesus, look and live. He said in Romans chapter 9 and verse 31, God's hide and seek. Is it easy to find him? Romans chapter 9, the Bible says in verse 31, but Israel which followed after the law of righteousness hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because, watch it, they sought it, not by faith. In other words, they were looking for it, they could never find it. That's that hide and seek game again. They were looking for righteousness, but they could never find righteousness. Look at the next chapter, Romans chapter 10. You know the verses. Verse 2, look at it. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to what? They don't have the knowledge. They don't understand. Why don't they understand? Look at the next verse. For they being, what's the word? Ignorant of God's righteousness. Look at it. And going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. This is why they could never find the righteousness of God, because they were not humble enough to acknowledge that they didn't have any. And they could not just exercise faith in God. And so they could never find it. Hide and seek. Now, take your Bible to Matthew 11. I'm going to bring that home to you. How, preacher, can it become easy to find the things that I know that I need to know for life and godliness? How can it become easy? Well, a lot of it has to do with your faith. And a lot of it has to do with your humility. It really does. You know, God will never show a proud person anything. He'll hide it from them. Doesn't matter who we are. Doesn't matter who we are. Doesn't matter who our family is. Doesn't matter what our background is. If we've got pride in our life, God's just going to tuck something over the corner. We'll never find it. And if we don't seek Him by faith, if we seek Him by our own works, our own goodness, we'll not find it. Because whatsoever's not of faith is sin. And that Bible said He'll give it to all men liberally, but He said that wisdom, but He said, but let him ask in faith. In other words, you've got to go to God in faith. If you don't look for the answer in faith, you'll never find the answer. And that's why some people can't ever find the answer to nothing. Because they're not looking in faith. They're looking in reason. They're looking in what makes sense. And life doesn't make sense, and eternity doesn't make sense, and the answers of your heart doesn't make sense. And if you try to reason it all out, it's not going to make sense. But if you seek by faith, it'll be easy to find the wisdom. How do you know that? Look at Matthew 11. I think this faith and humility goes together. Matthew 11, the Bible says in verse 25, Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast, what's the word, church? Hid these things. See the hide and seek of God? Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto who? Babes. He mentions that a lot about that childlike faith and that childlike humility. You want things to get a little easier? Just get a little lower. You want things to make sense a little better? Just humble yourself before God. Because here's the truth. We'll never find things unless we're willing to humble ourselves and sit at the feet of the Master. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Oh, what words I hear Him say. That guy that was clothed and in his right mind, listen, they found in his right mind, if God helps me, I'm going to preach a message, not too many of these hints about all that. That guy that was in his right mind, listen, he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. When you sit at somebody else's feet, you've humbled yourself before them. You see that? In other words, I don't have the answer, and I'm going to sit right here, Jesus, low at your feet until you give me the answer. And when we humble ourselves and come to God by faith, like a babe, like a child, He'll say, how easy it is. Here it is. Right there it is. He says in Proverbs 14, verse 7, watch it now. Hide and seek with God. Verse 7, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. Listen, wisdom and knowledge is going to be hidden from you if you go to these type of people. Look at the Bible again. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. In other words, if you are in the company of somebody that doesn't know God and doesn't know the truth and doesn't respect God, you need to avoid him, or the truth's going to be hid from you because you're going to start listening to foolish people. You're going to be following foolish people. You're going to be looking and reading after foolish people. Why would I look and read after people that believe in abortion and sodomy? Why would I want to learn anything? And a Democrat? I'd throw that in. I'm sick of all that mess, man. And a socialist? And people that hate the Bible and hate God? Why would I want to listen to anything they had to say? He said, go from the presence of a foolish man. If you have no respect for the Bible, you're foolish. I'm getting away from you. I don't want to listen to anything you have to say. Because if I do listen to what you have to say, then things are going to start to be hidden from me. God tells us to avoid people in the New Testament. He tells us from such turn away. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 4 and 5. Why would you want to listen to somebody that's not pure in their life? Why would you want to listen to somebody that's whored around all their life? Are you listening to me? Why would you want to read after people and believe people? I'll never forget. Brother Jim Floor said one time, he said, remember, every time you're watching that newsman on the anchor, that's a guy that wears makeup. From that day to this, I could never get over that. Every time there's a news anchor out there, I said, man, that guy's got a whole... He got makeup all over his face. I'm going to listen to a guy that wears makeup? I mean, if I met him out town, I wouldn't listen to him.
Amen.
Right? If I walked out town and this guy had makeup all over his face, I'm not going to listen to it.
Amen.
What I'm saying, it's amazing of the people that we listen to that are impure in their life, that have no respect for God, that are blasphemers, that aren't pure, that they have no modesty, they have no biblical values, they have no respect for God, they have no spiritual life, they have no fellowship with God. I'm going to hide so many things from myself if I stay around those people. He said, leave them, get away from them. Avoid them. I was going to say the plague, that's the old phrase we use, but now I think we can say like the virus. When you get around the foolish man, put your mask on. The one that goes all the way around your ears and your eyes and your nose and your face. When you get around the foolish man, put your gloves on. No touchy.
Amen.
When you get around the foolish man, freak out and say, you stay in that line. Right? Isn't that how it goes? Stay in your line. Don't get around me. You know why? The foolish man is a lot more dangerous than a virus. He'll destroy your life for the rest of your life. And you don't want God to hide the truth from you because you were around these foolish people. The last verse there, he says in verse number 8, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Wisdom is hidden from people that are deceived. And the whole world is getting set up for all this deceivableness of unrighteousness. The whole world is getting set up that all the truth that they could have ever known is going to be hid to them from the deceit of the Antichrist that's coming to this world. And the Bible says, but the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. And I'm finished. Preacher, how can I get God's wisdom for my life so easily? Well, understand his way. Listen, if you'll spend your life trying to understand God's way, he'll make your way a lot more easy, a lot easier. If you want to know God's way, God will make your way plain. And if you want to know your path that you need to take in his will, if you're interested really in your way, how it ought to go, how your way ought to travel this world, if you're interested in that way that he has for you, because God's way and your way, which one is that? I think it's both. I don't think you'll ever understand your way without knowing God's way. It'll be hide and seek.